This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. With you tonight, it's Aria and Mark. And we're talking about Bitcoin here, as we tend to do. I think at one point, Urban Dictionary defined Free Talk Live as this talk show about pot and Bitcoin, if I remember correctly.
I didn't know that.
Coming to us from Winklevoss Capital, economic cycles are notoriously hard to predict, but over a long enough time horizon, they do happen. The Keynesian tools that governments can avail themselves of to soften down cycles are well understood. No, they're not. What is this guy? They are what is causing the cycles.
What is?
The boom and bust. The government's inflation, monetary policy, Keynesian economics. There is a certain amount of disequilibrium that occurs naturally.
You know, I'm no fan of Maynard Keynes, right? But he gets a bad rap, especially from libertarians, because of his theories, which have been perverted by politicians and those that wish to benefit.
I would say this was intentional on the part of Keynes.
I don't think so. So Keynes suggested that, one, that the government spend in times of need, and...
Well, because he thought spending was a catalyst of economic growth.
Agreed.
But it's savings.
And I think I think that spending is a catalyst of economic growth. However, but the government was supposed to pay off its debt in the times of plenty. And it did that for a time.
That would have been a very short time.
No, it's not. If you look at spending from the federal government and debt, a debt chart from the federal government, it goes up during the Civil War and then comes back down. It goes up during World War One and then it goes
but
back
that spending,
down.
But that doesn't mean they're paying off their debt. It just means they're not spending as much.
No, it's the debt. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. It's the debt amount, the federal debt. And you look at it, it's high in World War One, then it gets spent down. High in World War Two, then it gets spent down. And I can't remember where exactly. I think it's like the 1990s, essentially, that we begin with what effectively is called modern monetary theory, which is spend, spend, spend.
Isn't that what Keynes called his book?
He did, but they have perverted what he's okay. done. I don't have any. Modern monetary theory looks nothing like what Maynard Keynes suggested.
Spending money, lowering taxes, and printing money, i.e. cutting rates, quantitative easing, and or adjusting cash reserve ratios for banks, are the major levers that governments can pull to counteract an economic contraction, or cause them. These strategies, however, have diminishing returns, and their ability to stimulate an economy depends upon how novel they are at the time they are being summoned. I don't think they've ever been successful at stimulating an economy. You can't slice a piece of pie into more slices to get more pie. And that's what all of those tactics he just mentioned do.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, well, you're really hungry tonight, so we're going to take your same size pizza and cut it into more slices, and now you have more pizza. You don't. Traditional wisdom dictates that during pro-business cycles, a government should run a budget surplus, either by spending frugally, saving prudently, or some combination thereof, and print money sparingly. The idea is to have enough dry powder lying around to help jumpstart the economy if and when it starts to go into a tailspin.
Right.
Sort of what you said.
Right.
That the idea is that, you know, when times are bad, they would spend. When times are good, they would create a surplus.
But they don't.
No, of course they don't.
You know, in this millennia, there hasn't been a single year that they have paid down the debt.
No, it's only gone up, as you said.
Only gone up. There was one time, in the 90s, that supposedly...
Under Clinton, but that wasn't even Clinton's responsibility. That was because of the tech boom.
Right. And it's not even a good... And people argue that, in fact, that had really nothing to... You know, that it wasn't even... It was just, smoke and mirrors anyway. But it didn't actually get paid off. But whatever. You want to give the credit? Fine. Give the credit to Clinton. I don't care.
Even before COVID-19 and despite the longest bull run in U.S. economic history, the government was spending money like a drunken sailor, cutting taxes like Crazy Eddie. Who is Crazy Eddie?
I don't know.
And printing money like a banana republic. Well, that only got worse during COVID-19. What began as a shot in the arm during this credit crisis of 2008 never stopped, despite the U.S. economy being out of the woods for years. And so what started as an acute prescription has morphed into chronic dependence and denial, a.k.a. addiction.
Right. This is basically the guy who goes out and drinks all night long before he has to get to work and wakes up with a pounding headache and solves the problem by downing, 5 shots before he goes to work. I mean,
yeah,
it's
and
just...
And the guy became an addict because, you know, he liked drinking after a particularly rough day at work or whatever. And then he stopped having those rough days at work and he kept drinking.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he's got a hangover, so he drinks some more. See, Exhibit A, every time the Fed tried to rein in quantitative easing pre-COVID-19, markets recoiled viscerally and became combative. And if stock market gains are your measure of success, you will not choose to upset the apple cart. Even if it's wildly untethered to reality, you will naturally avoid a painful intervention and rehabilitation and continue to kick the can down the road as long as you can.
Yeah, my friend, the Liberty Advisor, is a financial advisor, and he says, you know, there may never be, because of the way federal government is printing money, and thus the stock value, It just continues to go up.
It's measured in dollars, yeah.
It's measured in dollars,
yeah.
So it gets more and more difficult to understand what something's worth. He's like, there may never be a bear market again. Who knows? Maybe they just keep printing money.
That seems to be what they want to do. According to the U.S. National Bureau of Economic Research, the U.S. recession that began in December 2019 ended by July 2009. Nevertheless, Treasury ran a budget deficit every year since, which in aggregate more than doubled the government's debt to $22 trillion by the start of 2020. In addition, Trump's Treasury's ability to collect
money... Oh, the good old days at the early 2020 when the debt was only $22 trillion, and now it's 27.
Yeah.
Like I said, in the last year, a quarter of the debt was
I think it's closer to 20%.
It's higher.
The story that we covered here with Ian sitting here said 20%.
Percent, I think, is what it said, but...
I mean, there's no point in squabbling over it. Yeah. A ridiculous amount of money, a banana republic amount of money,
yes,
was created this year.
Right. And if your stocks didn't go up by basically a third, because if you go from 3 to 4, you have increased by a third,
right.
But the amount that is increased is only a quarter.
I know percentages are weird, man.
They
I get what
weird.
You're saying.
So if your stocks didn't increase by a third, well, what happened? Sounds to me like they went down.
Well, the people who did luck out and take my advice on this matter when the government really began printing this massive amount of money and they used that $1,200 stimulus check to buy Bitcoin are probably pretty happy with that decision because it was like 7,000 then and now it's almost double that. Well, no, it's not almost double that. It's probably 50% above that.
Like 11,000.
It's outpaced the growth of inflation at the very least. So the Treasury's ability to collect money was attenuated in 2017. Congress reduced the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21% by passing the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which really only lowered corporate taxes and probably created no new jobs. But they wrote a number down.
I'm thinking about this, what you said, your advice to people when the stimulus check came out. So it was two checks for $1,200 a piece?
It was one check for an individual of $1,200.
Okay, it wasn't.
And I received mine on like May the 2nd.
I thought we got two checks at my house. Anyway, whatever the case may be, if you took that $1,200 when Bitcoin was at $7,000, I'm reading a headline here.
I think it was about $7,500.
Whatever it is. I'm reading a headline from Crypto News Flash. Citibank forecasts Bitcoin price at $120,000 by 2021. Now, if you wanted me to, I would not make that prediction.
I would not either.
But that's the headline that I just read. And do I think that Bitcoin could reach $120,000? Yes, I just don't feel like it could do it by next year.
If it does it by next year, it will mean that something very bad, something very destructive has happened in the U.S. economy. Something like massive amounts of inflation.
It could mean that institutional investors, Bitcoin investment has been opened to institutional investors, and a bunch of money poured in, and demand increased. Remember, there's 21 million Bitcoins that can be created, and there's right now 21 million millionaires in the world. There may come a time when every millionaire wants a Bitcoin. What will that do to the price?
855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Economist claims that value of U.S. dollar will descend by 35% in the next year, and the dollar is the most overrated major currency in the world today. U.S. Federal Reserve is actively working on turning the U.S. dollar into a digital currency. Bitcoin set a new record for time above $10,000 in value. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Maxwell, she's a scratchy and losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to chicken. Another vet says, eat the grain. Third vet says, it's the weather. Then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
It took 2 weeks, and the dog stopped itching. The hair stopped falling out. The Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
It's Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. That also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th. Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021. We'll see you at forkfest.party.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. Again, that toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. I mean, they really are. I bought something earlier today with Bitcoin Cash, and it popped up as paid on the cashier's end before my wallet even told me the transaction had been sent.
Wow.
If you're using Edge Wallet Hand Cash,
Bitcoin, I love Edge Wallet.
I do too. It's the one I use. Bitcoin.com or the Dash Wallet, your experience should be smooth, but some wallets aren't ready for this impressive new technology. These wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0 and reach out to the wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. I'm not kidding when I say it's lightning fast. And you no longer have to tell the cashier what crypto you want to use. You just say, I want to use AnyPay, or I want to use cryptocurrency.
I'm so grateful to be involved with AnyPayInc.com. They are really on the cutting edge of creating the technology that we need to transition from this world of, you know, old tech paper money to new digital currency that empowers people. I know a lot of people don't like the idea of a digital currency because they feel like it can be tracked, but those people don't understand what cryptocurrency is.
Agreed.
It empowers the individual in just about every way.
It does, but yes. Most people don't realize what the great big problem with our current situation, with our current economic system really is. I mean, most people never run into a bank telling them no. You can't spend your money. You can't send this amount of money to this person. You can't do it. Most people have never encountered that, but it happens all the time. And by the time you will encounter it, you'll finally be like, oh, God, this system, this can't work.
Yeah, I think the average person, what they're concerned with is trying to keep their bank balance above zero so that they don't get late charges. And that is how one of the ways that banks actually keep their lights on. I mean, if you think about all the branches of the bank or credit union or whatever that you have, and maybe it's only one, but I mean, think about that building. How many people are in that building, and they're all getting paid $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, if not more, and the lights have to be kept on, the computers have to be paid for, and everything in there. They're not doing that with a $15 overdraft charge from you once every 6 months. They're doing that some other way, and that's a terrifying notion. Because the service of keeping your money safe and allowing you to transact through checks and digitally and all that other stuff, that's not cheap. Where's it come from?
It's not, but Bitcoin makes it fairly cheap.
Bitcoin is a technology that basically makes banking obsolete. Yeah. Not to say that you wouldn't. So you'll always need somebody to protect your wealth. You don't want to keep, let's say you have $100,000 in Bitcoin.
Well, don't put it all in the same wallet.
Well, don't leave it at your house. I mean, the old method of getting somebody's Bitcoin wallet is walking in and hitting them in the knee with a wrench until they give it to you.
Well, don't tell people you have 100,000 Bitcoin.
Agreed, but it's hard to be active in the cryptocurrency community and not have people believe that you have some.
Okay, fair.
And the Andreas Antonopoulos, one of the biggest names in Bitcoin, shocked the world a few years ago when he said he had spent all the Bitcoin that he had ever gotten and he had basically none. And a fundraiser was done, and it raised $1 million for him. Just to give him some money, just to give him some Bitcoin, so he can say that he had it, and he was obviously terribly grateful. And if he kept that $1 million in Bitcoin, then he is quite wealthy right now. But not everybody kept it, but everybody believed that Andreas Antonopoulos had all that money.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, let's go to the phones. We got Rob calling from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi guys. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's on your mind?
I'm sorry, I sound horrible. I had a cold the last.
You got the COVIDs? Dear God, I feel a scratch in the back of my throat just talking to you.
Hey, look, I've been listening to you guys here since the show started, and you've been talking about the debt that that we're in the United States.
Well, that the American government is in. I'm not in debt.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that all could be all cleared up if if they legalized cannabis and legalized hemp. Yeah, I mean, look at how well Colorado's doing.
Oh, so regulate and tax.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're doing that. I mean, that's basically the only path to, being able to get legalized weed is regulate and tax.
I mean, we could burn the White House down.
Well, right. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think we should. I'm just saying it could be done.
I don't know that that's going to stop marijuana laws.
If you burn enough of the buildings, it might.
Go ahead.
A lot of people probably are not aware of this, but cannabis laws changed over here last week.
Where's it's here?
It's
Robin Vermont.
Yeah. Okay.
Over in Vermont. Yeah.
Yeah, it's recreationally legal there now, right?
Yeah. Now New Hampshire is surrounded by states that have recreational marijuana, while New Hampshire lags behind. I really hate this.
New Hampshire doesn't even have medical, do they?
They have medical, but they have no dispensaries, so they effectively do not have medical.
That's so stupid.
But
a monumental failure on the part of the Free State Project.
They're not really, indeed. I mean, it's not a failure of the Free State Project. It's an indication the Free State Project doesn't have the kind of jug that it needs to have, and
sure.
It's just, you know.
Which whatever. Is a failure of the Free State Project.
Okay.
That was the whole point.
But I could next year fill up my whole yard if I want to, a couple of acres of ball pot and sell it right out here in front of my driveway.
up here in rural New Hampshire, we have these little huts that people, little kiosks that people put out in front of their houses. Usually they have, some kind of berries in them or chicken eggs or something like that. You get a carton of eggs, you leave $4 in the jar, and it's basically,
an honor system?
An honor system, essentially. I just wonder if you could put little bags of weed out there at the honor system.
Rob, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, it's weird that New Hampshire is surrounded by all of these states where pot is now legal recreationally, and as you said, I assume they didn't have legal marijuana because there are no dispensaries. Where the hell are the dispensaries? Is there not one in the entire state of New Hampshire?
I'm not the one to ask about marijuana laws in New Hampshire because it's just not my thing. But I can tell you that New Hampshire lags severely behind Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont, and frankly Quebec, where it's completely surrounded by places where one can smoke weed recreationally, but not in this little jurisdiction here. Now the enforcement here isn't very vigilant.
Well, how could you enforce that? We have people from Mass and Vermont and Maine in New Hampshire all the time.
Well, there are people who work in one, send their kids to school in another, and then live in another.
It's almost unenforceable. Why not go ahead and legalize it?
I don't know. Why did Massachusetts make guns illegal? Vermont and New Hampshire, basically, you could, for years, you could get whatever you wanted and just go across the border.
You can still do that, can't you, if you're a New Hampshire resident?
Well, those mass hole cops will stop you looking for fireworks and whatever.
855-450-3733. That's 855-453, as in Free Talk Live.
On a multidimensional probe, the Cisgov Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers two entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, Cisgov's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit BaneBooks at Bane.com for more.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Economists claims that value of U.S. dollar will descend by 35% in the next year, and the dollar is the most overrated major currency in the world today. U.S. Federal Reserve is actively working on turning the U.S. dollar into a digital currency. Bitcoin set a new record for time above $10,000 in value. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry. After technical delays Wednesday, the Senate confirmation hearings continued. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal keeping things light.
Welcome back, Judge Barrett, and to your family. as well. I hope you got some rest.
I did have a glass of wine. I'll tell you that I needed that at the end of the day.
Well, let me just say, on that kind of point, you have a right to remain silent.
Final day of hearings is Thursday. President Trump's 14-year-old son, Barron, contracted the COVID-19 virus, as reported by the First Lady. Dick Brennan from CBS2 in New York City has more.
After she and President Trump tested positive, she worried about Barron. He at first tested negative, but soon did test positive. She writes that Barron is a strong teenager and exhibited no symptoms, and he has since tested negative.
The Trump family is now virus-free at this time. USA Radio News. Hunter Biden, son of Joe Biden, in recently revealed emails, shows he introduced his dad to Burisma energy officials. Joe Biden is on record for saying he had no idea about Hunter's business dealings with the corrupt energy company. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
The New York Post is reporting that emails reveal that Hunter Biden introduced his then-father, Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at Burisma Energy less than 1 year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine into firing a prosecutor who was investigating the company. The evidence recovered from a laptop computer flies in the face of Joe Biden's claim that he never spoke to his son about his overseas business dealings. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
An earlier email from May of 2014 shows an advisor, reportedly Burisma's number three executive, asked Hunter for, quote, advice on how you can use your influence, end quote. USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. It's 855-450-3733. Within the studio tonight, it's Aria and Mark, and we are 8 months into this coronavirus crap. But ForkFest this year went on just like it has every other year, and as far as we can tell, it's going to happen in 2021 as well. You can join us from June the 28th through July the 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It may be the only thing you can do next year as well. It was one of the few things people could do this year. It's just the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's decentralized, so there's no ticket costs. No one is in charge. All you have to do is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June the 28th through July the 4th. And we're better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can just relax and go camping, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you're planning an event, though, let others know in advance. You can do all of that through ForkFest.party and the unofficial ForkFest forum and the unofficial Telegram chat. Links to those are on the unofficial website. ForkFest.party, June the 28th through July the 4th. I can't wait for it. But we are 8 months into this coronavirus crap. Since the first corona case was reported in the United States, it has been nearly 8 months, and yet experts forecast that we will
just 14 days to flatten the curve.
That's what we were told, man. We were discussing this during a break, but it's something we're talking about on air. I watch a lot of the videos from this guy called Brendan Ferris. He's really, really funny. One of the funniest people I found on YouTube. And he's got videos from 6 months ago that I never watched because I just recently discovered him. So I was going back and watching some of those, and he makes this joke where he opens the door to go mingle with people and goes, oh, I can't do this. I'll talk to you in 14 days. That was 6 months ago.
Yeah. And there are places where people are literally still locked down, that businesses aren't able to open. And I was just listening. Australia is going to keep some level of lockdown going for all of 2021 until they find a vaccine. Now, when they said...
The issue with the vaccine, as far as I understand it, is that it will have to be repeated because the antibodies don't last forever. They have a half-life of something like 43 days or something
like
that.
The chances are that the vaccine is just nonsense that is intended to make people feel better. But that just shows the intense level of fear that's going on over this virus. If you look at the deaths in the United States...
I'm not in the least concerned about this freaking virus. I'm concerned about the government and how scared everyone else is over this stupid virus.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you look at the deaths, it's basically over. Like... It's just, it's time to return to normal, ladies and gentlemen.
I agree. It sucks that 200,000 or however many people died who probably wouldn't have died this year. Maybe
they wouldn't have died on that day.
Yeah. Maybe they died earlier than they're going to.
Remember that the vast majority of them, so about 10,000 of them died of are listed as dying from coronavirus only. And then the rest of them died of other causes and coronavirus.
Well, they were always upfront about that. That wasn't news. The fact that so many people didn't understand what they were reading when that news first came out is what the news was.
I understand, but people don't seem to understand anything.
No, because people are still, like the CNN article or the whoever article that ran the other day saying, we found that 60-something percent of people who contract coronavirus were wearing masks at all times. And people saw this, and I told you masks didn't work. You morons! I don't know how many other ways we can say this. The mask was never about protecting you from getting coronavirus.
Yeah.
There's so much misinformation and misunderstanding about
this. Most of the people who are getting coronavirus are getting it from their family members at home, where you're not wearing a mask.
Sure, but the mask isn't going to help you anyway.
Well, if it does anything, it may help you only marginally, very, very small. What it's intended to do is help the other person not get it.
Well, it's to help them not spread it if they have it.
Right.
It does nothing for preventing...
If you've got COVID, you most assuredly should be wearing a mask.
Sure.
Right? But you should be quarantining, too. Quarantines are for sick people, not for whole damn societies. That never in the course of the word quarantine have you ever locked down the planet and destroyed the economy.
I think it did happen, during the bubonic plague.
Well,
but that killed a lot of people.
I don't know that there was a quarantine during the bubonic plague.
I'm pretty sure Venice locked down.
Well, maybe places locked down, but, whatever. It was the killing of
cats. What we have here isn't really a quarantine either. It's a government lockdown.
Yes.
We're not really... They're calling this a quarantine, but you and I are sitting here talking.
Right. They called it a quarantine at one point, but they abandoned that terminology because, A, it's not a quarantine by its definition. It is a new and different thing, which is a government lockdown. Intending to stop the spread of coronavirus. And if they had actually locked down for 2 weeks, and by that I mean nobody leaves their house. No cops, no grocery store clerks, nobody. You eat what you got. Remember that can of beans that sit in the back of the pantry? Eat it. Whatever it is, you got nothing. If they would have actually locked down like that, maybe they would have been able to put a dent in this virus. But you can't do half measures and expect anything.
Yeah, I have to agree. If they had locked down completely, I would have opposed it tooth and nail. I would have fought to the death oppose that.
I'm against it from the standpoint of a of freedom today. But I will tell you, way back then, I was ready to give them their 2 weeks. I stayed in.
It would have probably worked.
I followed the rules for 2 weeks. And had...
I did not.
They,
I'm the reason it didn't work, Mark.
No, you're not. But the rules were dumb. I was going to the grocery store every other day. I was wearing, I was cleaning my hands and wearing a mask and doing whatever. It wasn't me that was spreading it. I have, to the best of my knowledge, haven't caught this particular virus. I haven't tested myself either, but, I don't feel ill and haven't felt ill. So, if everybody would have locked down, on the other hand, and they actually would, because it doesn't matter that one person didn't or did lock down. What matters is they never put the rule out in the first place. And if they wanted to, they could have just said, hey, it's legal to murder somebody who's not on their property. you know, I mean, we're just not going to enforce it. Have fun. And then you could have had the hunters out there, the people that actually want to do some kind of murdering or something. They'd be out there killing people off. And this time, yeah, you know, whatever. It would have worked.
That would have worked. That would have kept me the hell at home, for sure. And it would have made an excellent argument for why the government is every bit as immoral as anyone could ever be. So we're 8 months into this now, and according to Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, in an interview with MSNBC, he said, if you're talking about getting back to a degree of normality which resembles where we were prior to COVID, it's going to be well into 2021, maybe even towards the end of the year. Yeah. So perhaps another entire year of this nonsense.
Right.
I have never so strongly resisted the urge to shout expletives on Free Talk Live as I did as I read that statement.
Think about the places that and the businesses that benefit from tourism and travel and these sorts of things. Airlines, decimated. Cruise companies, basically out of business.
Hotels, decimated.
You know, Saipan, where I'm a resident, I mean, the only reason they're surviving is because the federal government's sending money. They would have to figure out a whole new ways to survive because 90% of their GDP was tourism.
By the end of this year, there will be nearly 500,000 dead from the novel coronavirus in the United States if social distancing mandates continue to ease and without universal masking. According to the most recent forecast by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington, and we totally promise those numbers aren't pulled out of our rears and they're legitimate, and you have no reason whatsoever to question their validity.
So they just made stuff up.
Yes. If that dark, I mean, they created an equation, they assumed a bunch of variables.
They said 2 million people were going to die.
And they did some math, and they said, this is our estimate. And everybody said, okay, yeah, well, I mean, sure.
They basically said 2 million people are going to die, and we hope we can get it down to 200,000. They did get it down to 200,000, and now it's Trump's fault.
If that dark prophecy comes to be, nearly 3,000 people will be dying every single day from COVID, more than triple the current rate.
Wait, okay, so I was going to say, more than 3,000 people in the United States die every day already.
How many? What?
Well, between 50 and 60,000 people die in America every week.
Okay.
So, you know, that you do the division, something like 7,500 people die every day.
I guess we're still talking. I've got no music.
Power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's nothing worse than thinking that your Medicare benefits are going to cover routine medical expenses like vision, dental, and prescription benefits, only to find that when an emergency arises, your Medicare plan is full of gaps that don't even begin to cover your medical emergency. How would it feel to have to go into debt because your Medicare program didn't cover everything 100%? Studies show that 95% of Medicare recipients pay more than $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. At SnapMedicare.com, we understand how important it is for you to be prepared for any type of medical emergency. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to find out exactly where you stand with your Medicare coverage and to save thousands on future costs. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare coverage, remember, call 800-286-5516. SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, talk radio that you control. If you're quick, you can still get on the air with us. Just call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. And with you, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And I want to say thank you to Eric Haley, who is tonight's amplifier. That means he's a member of the, or she is a member of the AMP program that you can find at amp.freetalklive.com. All we ask to join the program is $5 per month, but Eric has decided to be more generous than that, and is giving us $10 per month, and is a gold-level member. Eric, thank you so much. This means that he's a member of the, as I said, the AMP program. It's money that is used strictly to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. It helps us get on more radio stations. So if you like the show, if you like what we're doing, check it out. It's amp.freetalklive.com. It only costs $5 per month, and you can get your name read out on the radio if you want. Or you can just join the AMP only Facebook group or the other cool little features. It's amp.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much, Eric. Let's go to the phones. We've got David calling from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
The court report. I had court today. It was pretty educational. But first
was
of all, that
court in real life or court on like Zoom?
Zoom is real life, dude.
They'll really throw you in jail.
Well, I'm going to do jail on Zoom, man.
I like that argument.
Yeah.
No, if you want to give me a court trial on Zoom, fine. I will do my jail time on Zoom.
Right. And I want work release too, dude.
On Zoom.
Yeah. But so the biggest lesson. Oh, first of all, did anybody else attend by chance? I supplied you with the call in information.
Was that via email?
Yeah, I sent you guys, and I said it on air. Anybody can look at it. It's just like walking into the courthouse.
If you email me, it's going to get filtered directly into my trash.
Yeah, all I can tell you, David, is I get 200 emails a day, and I just can't keep up. I just don't know how to do it. I'm at my wit's end when it comes to emails. I'm about ready to tell, unsubscribe from everything and tell everybody else, I just change my email address to something else.
This is why you use multiple email addresses, Mark.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, well, and you don't even need that anyway. The if anybody is interested in sitting in the courtroom virtually, it's you can do it all by looking on the web. You just look at the nmcourts.gov website, you do a case lookup for my name, Olson David, find my cases, what judge, what date, well, what time.
What happened? What happened at the event, though, David?
Well, the educational thing is everybody, this will interest everybody, or at least everybody who gets in trouble from time to time. In a 10-minute period, there were four cases of the approximately, I don't know, seven cases that were being called in this afternoon session. Four of them were dismissed in a 10-minute period because the cop didn't show up in those four cases. Mm. And so the judge is like, dismissed, 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 dismissed. You know, and they were all, you know, it was all real stuff, like DWI cases, just gone. So the lesson is, stand up to them, make them show their cards, you know, and if the cop doesn't show up, then, you know, dismiss, depending on what judge you get.
That's what I had always been told about court, you know, just always request a trial, and when you get there, chances are the cop won't show up, and worst case scenarios, they find you guilty anyway, but that's the same as pleading guilty.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, right. You don't have to take it. That it's best not to take the initial offer in anything, right? Like, you wouldn't just fold your poker hand because the other guy said, okay, I'll call that, or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly how poker works. But
that was evident, so no worries.
On the first round, you wouldn't just fold your cards every time, you know. So if it's worth fighting, fight it.
They've pushed multiple offers at me already, and I've said, oh, let me see that. Yeah, I'm real interested in looking at that. Oh, yeah, that looks real good. No. So
what are they threatening you with here, David?
So this is the case where you called into a radio program. They told you not to call back. You didn't call back, but you did call into the station later on a different program, and they said that they, you know, just out of whole cloth made that up as, you know, violating the rule, came after you on it, and now they're threatening you with a couple of years in prison for making a telephone call. A telephone call to a publicly funded radio station run on a publicly funded university. And obviously all of that's ridiculous, but what was the question, Ariane? I lost my train of thought.
I asked him what they were threatening him with, but you got the answer out, three years.
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they're threatening me with telephone, harassing, annoying, whatever it's called.
So did this, different words was this the case, or?
Is annoying people against the law, David?
Yes, it is. In New Mexico, if you annoy somebody on the telephone, you have broken the law, sir. I mean, ma'am.
What?
I will keep that in mind, David.
What?
Yeah.
Only if you make the call. Yeah, I can be as annoying as I want on this end of it.
But David can't.
Well, he can because we will not go after him for calling. And plus, you can always hang up.
I don't mind David calling. So
this is just another preliminary hearing, right? This isn't the case being held.
Today was a pre-trial conference, is what they entitled this one.
And what occurred?
What happens at a pretrial conference? Oh, here's another thing that people want to know. Another way to bust the state is that you're entitled to discovery, full discovery, which means witness interviews and belt tapes and video and 911 calls. And these prosecutors, like Sarah Burton or Mr. Nickerson, they never collect all of the evidence that they are bound by law to supply to you, the defense. They never get it all.
So what happens in this conference, in this pretrial conference?
In the conference, the judge says to the state, you know, where are you at on this case, state? And the state says, blah, blah, blah. And then the judge says, defense, where are you at on your discovery? And the defense says, we still need this, 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 and this, and this. And then that's basically it.
And so they tell the state that they have to come up with this, this, and this, and this. And then, of course, these bureaucrats who have, you know, huge caseloads and really don't care about their jobs because they're miserable, you know, miss another conference and another conference and another conference because they haven't got everything to you. And a case that was supposed to be a speedy trial drags out for 3 or 4 years.
tragic. David, I hope it works out for you, man. You can't let the lesbian, gay Nazis out there win. Moving right along, by the end of the year, Mark, man, you left me tumbleweeds, man.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what to do.
Way to be a co-host, man. By now, the evidence is clear. Lockdowns work. We know. Now you're laughing. Great. We know that strict lockdowns worked in China. Oh, my God. They actually said that.
The strict lockdowns worked in China.
Yes.
Okay.
Slowing down how fast the virus spreads in Wuhan, the unprecedented 76-day lockdown in which people were barred from leaving the city or their homes except once every 3 days for food, stopped new infections by two-thirds.
Well, yeah, but I mean, infections managed to get out of there, so it wasn't particularly useful. They should have locked down the whole country and then told the rest of the world to lock down too, but instead they kept the little mouths shut, and this pandemic raged on.
It sounds like what this article is arguing is that, you know, we flattened the curve, but we need to flatten it more.
Well, like, so the only thing that I will concede is that a full-fledged lockdown would have been successful. It's just that government doesn't have what it takes to do it. They simply can't do it. They'd rather do half measures for 2 years than to do the job right for 2 weeks. And they'll never not be that way.
They need to be able to save face. They need to be able to look like they're doing something without making it obvious that what they're doing is tyranny. So they have to try to ride that middle fits between the two things.
Right. I mean, you know, and I made the argument before, and I'll make it again, if there was an argument for the state, it was a global pandemic. And we now have had, not the global pandemic, but at very least the test for a global pandemic. And we know how the state's going to do. Every single day that the sun rises, they could do this right, and they won't. So, you know, why bother? It's not worth it. At this point, the deaths have diminished to the point that they're basically at the excess death line. Who cares? What are you worried about? This was an acceptable amount of deaths for this week anyway.
Now, the people of Wuhan, whose lives were brought for a couple of months to a halt, are now going to the movies while we in the U.S. are trapped in never-ending Zoom meetings. That's not true at all. I ate at a restaurant today. I went to the movies not too long ago.
Florida's open.
Yeah, the theaters are open.
Sam is open.
You can go to movies.
New Hampshire is open.
This has been Free Talk Live. Head on over. Check out the AMP program once more time. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now's your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.